AMS is a premier substance use disorder treatment facility in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. AMS specializes in outpatient counseling services for individuals struggling with substance use disorders. Evidence-based, client-centered care is their main focus. AMS offers 30 different group therapy options a month, individualized counseling sessions, and the option of receiving medication assistance with methadone, Suboxone, Subutex, and Vivitrol. Your treatment is in your hands. AMS currently accepts Delaware and Maryland Medicaid, Medicare, and Virginia benefits. For help, call 302-227-1320, 302-227-1320, and schedule your intake appointment today. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network. My goodness. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. How is it going out there this fine morning? It is, what is today? Thursday, February 25th, 2021. It is a beautiful Delaware morning. You know, it's still winter. Still chilly, but big improvement from what's been going on. Had a lot of rain, inclement weather. I always love the rain. I love inclement weather, but when it becomes like too much, it starts to wear on me. And I think the rain was starting to wear on me. Just too wet. Everything's too wet. So anyway, good morning. Yeah, you know, I shared the other day, you know, I don't have a lot of problems today. Feeling pretty good. I'm finding myself searching, you know, like getting out the flashlight and looking around in the dark spots for problems, because, you know, I enjoy doing the podcast. I like chatting. I love reading the daily reflections. But sometimes the podcast makes me like kind of go digging around and find problems. And they're far and few between. At least it's a lot better than the way it used to be. But, you know, I also have to balance everything out, you know. I'm also, you know, when shit's gone bad, when my life is in the rut, when my life is not going well, you know, it's easy to roll up my sleeves and dig in and fix everything. But, you know, success, and when I say success, I mean anything other than the life I was living is successful to me. So any sort of success, improving my life, you know, improving relationships, improving the quality or level of people I'm having relationships with, can create a lot of issues. And they're not the ones that I'm used to. You know, if you have enough people telling you you're doing a good job or you know, everything's great, I start to believe it. And then I start thinking, you know, I don't pay attention to the little tasks that are really keep me grounded. It's been, I can tell you right now that over all of, since 1997, I guess, is when I officially came into the room looking for help, I've always been able to go to a meeting. Meetings have always been available for me. And it's been tough not having meetings now. I miss them. And the funny thing is that up until really this had started, I'd kind of not been going to many meetings. I don't want to say I'd kind of gotten a little toxic, but I'd kind of gotten a little toxic. I'd become very judgmental. And I talked about that, the cuss can, you know. Pisses me off, that kind of stuff. But, you know, why? Justified, and does it matter? Did I have a justified argument? I did. Did it matter? It didn't. There are rules, and there are vague or minus of rules. There is, you know, there's things in place for a reason. Someone said, if you want to start a meeting, just go grab the traditions and head out. Nowhere in there does it say that we create things or invent things. I think a standard meeting used to be basically coffee, a leader, you know, the 12 and 12, or the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, usually hanging up, some literature, you know, basket. That setup right there really doesn't leave a lot of room to aggravate people, right? Simple problems. This coffee sucks. Well, if you don't like the coffee, you can come and make the coffee next time, right? Better things get, the more I complain. The shittier things are, really, I have no comment. It's very interesting. The better I get, all of a sudden I have an opinion. Critical. To a different level. Now I'm like, not considered bottom of the earth, bottom of the scum of the earth. Oh, now he's got, you know, some sort of life. Now he has an opinion, and clearly I'm going to use it. But those cans and the different things, you know, what happens is, it's kind of like a relationship. You know, if I have a relationship with someone, and let's say I'm just very, you know, hey, oh my God, it's a new relationship. Let me do everything I can to make sure I keep the relationship. And I don't just mean like a with anybody, any person, any type of relationship, you know, doesn't have to be like a romantic or something, just a relationship. But am I bringing the honest version of me? You know, the honest version of me doesn't like to do much, I think. Easily inconvenienced. Bothered. Not outgoing. But that's not a great version of me. That's not the version that I really want to be. I want to be a better version of that. I want to be the person that's available, you know, driven, motivated, you know. You see those people, yeah. I'm like, did you see that show? Oh, I don't watch TV. I'm busy doing things. I'm like, oh, okay. I like TV. But you start relationships and you present the person that you think that you want to be to the person that you're having the new relationship with. Like, oh my God, I love, you know, if you ever met somebody or become friends with somebody and let's say they like, oh, I love mountain biking. Yeah, I like mountain biking. All of a sudden you're out mountain biking. You haven't mountain biked forever, but you like the relationship. You like the potential friendship. So you go out of your way to do things to appear like you're not the person that you know that you truly are, which is not a mountain biking person. And you go mountain biking and it's great. You might do it a couple times, still trying to be the person that you wish you were. And the relationship is built on this new mountain biking thing that you do. And then eventually the real person shows up. I'm like, you know, man, we don't like mountain biking. I'm not going to be, you know, all of a sudden the excuses start. Hey, you want to go mountain biking? I'm like, I can't go this week. You know, you've gone every week because you're a people pleaser. I'm a people pleaser. I shouldn't say you, me. I'm a people pleaser. I change who I am. I've always said that I'm like that animal that changes their colors, you know, the gecko. Is that what it is? You know, I evolve for every relationship. I change. The problem is I can't maintain it. And so then I fall out of the relationship because I'm sick of mountain biking, really. You know, where I should have been like, listen, I don't like to mountain bike, but there's other things I like to do. You know, call me. I'll come have a coffee with you after you mountain bike, or come, you know, and that's just an example. But I don't learn that. And it's the same thing with coming into a program. It's the same thing with getting sober. You know, the guy that got punched in the face, that had to go to the hospital, he was a much different person the day after. Not only was I not drinking, not only was I beat down into humility, but all of a sudden I felt better. You know, and actually, you know, a few days, a week, 2 weeks after finally the cobwebs have cleared and the alcohol is clear out of my system and the drugs are clear out of my system, I'm like, wow, this feels good. And all of a sudden you want to be better, and it's just, it's a tough time. I remember going to a lot of meetings and just, and luckily I was ready, you know. But I've seen a lot of people, like, you know, there's one, there was probably one meeting started eventually at one point in time. And then at some point someone said, I don't like the way this meeting's run. So they started another meeting, and it's just started from there. But it's always, you know, unless you're starting a meeting just because the area needs a meeting, that's great. But if you're starting a meeting because you have a resentment. And I probably got sober because I had a resentment against my drinking. The way that I drink, the amount that I drink, I was pissed off at it. So it was easy for me. It once slapped into reality, it was easy for me to walk away for a while. But the, you know, the reality fades, the memories fade, and then, you know, the true self-centered asshole Tom starts showing up, and all of a sudden I've got conditions, right? Or issues. And I think that, you know, it's like a cuss can. You know, nowhere does it say that we can have a cuss can. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say, hey, and when you get annoyed by the next meeting, you go make a new meeting and you make rules for the meeting. And as simple as that rule is, no cussing, it doesn't say that anywhere in the traditions. The danger part of that is that people like me get annoyed by that. Especially at the place where I'm at, where I have some time, all of a sudden I become like superior. Doesn't say that in the traditions, you know? It's like I can't, the doing well, being sober, it creates new issues that I was not prepared for. I don't know how to deal with those issues. I don't understand that this frustration or this annoyance that I get. I mean, it's a two-sided sword. You know, there's part of me that says, who cares, Tom? What do you care? Just fucking go to the meeting and sit down and then, you know, get yourself a meeting and go the fuck home. But there's the other side of me is like, you know, this is the kind of thing that could bother somebody to stop coming to a meeting. And it's that simple. I mean, the goal is to get sober, to be there for the next alcoholic. But if you have a lot of things in place, cuss can, which fucking is annoying. And the cuss can is that if you cuss, you have to put money in the can. I mean, it's a cute little rule, right? It's cute. But it is not part of the traditions. The traditions are in place or were created so that we would have rules. And there's one of the traditions is talks about press, radio, and film. Let me read the 12 traditions, because they're very important. 12 traditions. 12 traditions. So, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. That's true. As a union, we need to be together to help people get sober. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as we may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Word right there. To govern. To add policy. Would that be a policy to create a can that we put money in that if we cuss? I wonder what Bill would have done early on. This is a throw-up bucket, a throw-up can. If you throw up in here, because believe me, in the beginning of this program, when it started, it was not pretty. You think Bill was like, listen, if you puke, you have to pay a quarter. No, I doubt it. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Well, in that meeting, you're also required to pay if you cuss. That's annoying. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. That's right. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to alcoholics who still suffer. You know, we don't create meetings to stop people from cussing. That would be a different meeting. We create meetings to help people stop drinking. And we also have meetings for people to be there for people that drink too much. It's two-sided. You just don't get to be sober. After you get sober, you need to be there for the next person. That's why. Here we go. An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Every AA group ought to be self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Yep. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Yep. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Our primary relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity in the level of press, radio, and films. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Principles before personalities. Those are the principles. Cuss cans are personalities. And this is a, you know, I'd love to go to a meeting with a cuss can. You know, and in the end, you know, cuss cans, pillow meetings, you know, they're all ego. And I don't like going to that meeting anymore because of the cuss can, or at least that's how I was prior to this whole thing started. I would go back now. I'm sorry. I apologize. But it's still the point. We have to be careful, right? Because, most people it doesn't bother. Simple-minded people like myself, it gets under my skin because I know better. This is an ego thing. This is someone's personal opinion. This is someone's personal policy being introduced into a meeting that shouldn't have them. And that's a problem. Because whether it's me or somebody else, the possibility of annoying somebody to a point where they don't come back to a meeting is really not our primary purpose. You have to be careful. But what I have to be really careful about is these kind of landmines, because this is good life problems, right? I clearly have not much else going on if this is something that's going to hang, if I'm going to hang my hat on this one. And if it does bother me, then I need to also say something. Because I don't want to have a justified resent myself right out of a meeting, and then eventually justify resent myself into drinking. I've done that. I've watched this happen to me. You know, and I've shared about it in the past. You know, I remember moving to Easton, and I was definitely relying on my local, where I lived prior to moving, definitely relying on to my local AA to keep me freaking sober. You know, I was at a meeting every night. And then, you know, you get a little successful, you get a year under your belt. Next thing you know, I'm off to school and things are changing and improving. The next thing you know, I'm taking another job in another town and off I went. But I really wasn't ready to move. I mean, it's all fine today, you know. But looking back, I wasn't really ready to move. And I was told, don't do it. You're not ready. I was like, I got this. And off I went to Easton, Maryland. And I just remember, you know, I forget how the order. I think, there, you know, we used to show up to the meeting. We'd get some coffee. I think we'd read the steps and maybe a tradition of the month or whatever it is. But I went over to Easton and they ran the meetings a whole different way. And all of a sudden I became annoyed. Not the meeting's fault, my fault. But I started having these justified resentments. I was annoyed. I didn't like the way they collected the money. I didn't like when they collected the money. I didn't like, it was like I was just a mess. But I wasn't drinking. Seeing the forest through the trees, or the trees through the forest, whatever you want to call it. I was free from alcohol, but I was a toxic, dry, drunk mess. Had no clue that could happen. No clue. It's like getting cut. You know, you can get a cut, and people say, oh, you better put a Band-Aid on that. You're like, I'm fine. No, it'll heal better. It'll heal quicker if you have a Band-Aid on it. I'm like, eh, it's fine. Sure enough, you know, 2 weeks later, I haven't put a Band-Aid on this scrape or cut, and it's still scabbed over, and it's being picked, and it's just getting, you know, creating a scar where, had I stayed with the Band-Aid, I probably would be a little bit better. And it's kind of like a meeting. You know, I talked myself right out of the meeting, and then I stopped going, and then next thing you know, I'm toxic. Then I'm making that right turn at the liquor store, and I'm drinking vodka. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, you can come into a program, you can get with a group, and you can stop drinking. I mean, that's really, in the beginning, that was all I was looking for. Actually, in the beginning, I was only going to a meeting just to get people off my back. I wasn't looking for anything. I wasn't definitely not looking to get sober. But when I finally made that choice, when I got beaten to submission, I wanted to get sober. I wanted to stop. I wanted to be free from alcohol. And I was. It happened instantly. I was free from alcohol. But that dry side, that, you know, having an opinion. And, you know, someone has a suggestion. I mean, when somebody, you know, there's, you know, when someone does something or is doing something in a meeting that's annoying for reason unknown, just maybe just annoying to me, everybody else thinks it's cute. You know, I have to figure out how to say something. I have to figure out how to bring it up. Because if I don't, I'll end up not going to a meeting anymore, and I'll, you know, off I go. you know, this pandemic, I haven't been to a meeting. I did go to one, I don't know, maybe at the end of the summer last year. They had one. They have the Zoom meetings. I have no interest in Zoom meetings. Luckily, I've been okay. You know, whether it's from this podcast sharing or just, you know, I have a lot of friends in the program. I have a lot of friends that know that I don't drink. And I've walked these weird paths and I've seen it. And it's not been easy, you know, not being able to go to meetings has not been easy. But luckily I'm hanging in there. Hope everyone's hanging in there. But I can tell you what, man, if I was that guy that came in 97 and 98 and 99 and I was holding on to those meetings with all my might, I would really be struggling right now, I think. I would definitely be struggling. I don't know. Let me read a little Daily Reflections. If anybody has an opinion or a question or a topic or something and you want to reach out, you can find me at the I Am Sorry About Last Night Instagram page. You can send me a message there. You can find me on the I Am Sorry About Last Night Facebook page. Definitely send messages through that. You can reach out through the website, www.socialpodcastnetwork. Send me something there. If you have an anniversary coming up, you want me to give you a shout out, send me something there. If you're getting ready to celebrate an anniversary, awesome. If you just celebrated an anniversary, super awesome. I will celebrate, hopefully, God willing, in the creek don't rise in December. Let's try to find a little daily. Here we go, Daily Reflections, and then we'll wrap this bitch up. February 25th, the challenge of failure. Well, there you go. In God's economy, nothing is wasted. Through failure, we learn a lesson in humility, which is probably needed, painful though it is. Yeah. How thankful am I? That was As Bill Sees It, page 31. How thankful am I today to know that all my past failures were necessary for me to be where I am now? Through much pain came experience, and in suffering I became obedient. When I sought God, as I understand Him, He shared His treasured gifts. Through experience and obedience, growth started, followed by gratitude. Yes, then came peace of mind. Living and sharing sobriety. That's awesome. The ability, when things don't go your way, to find some sort of good. Is that possible? Why me, God? Why me, God? But is there good that comes out of bad? Is that where the character's created? I think so. You know, I was talking to someone, they're like, you know, praying. It was a client. She was talking about, you know, she's a real estate agent. She was taking a test, and she's like, please, God, let me pass this test. Yeah, of course, I want her to pass. But if we don't pass, if things don't go our way, can we still find something good, or are we the victim? I was a victim. That was really the problem I had with the relationship with the higher power, is that I didn't get what I wanted, so I was clearly a victim. And how can you have a relationship with something that you're clearly a victim from? I mean, that's how I felt. Because I wasn't doing it rightly. I was asking and not receiving, and I was annoyed. I've always said it's about the attempt, not the outcome. And that's very important. I hope everyone has a great day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me share. Catch ya.